surprising. I think the surprising part is that the Blackhawks didn't get a larger package for Joakim Hartley because he was kind of viewed as maybe their best defensive prospect outside of Adam Boqvist because he's a puck mover. He's very confident. He was ahead of the curve after he came out of the WHL with Portland.
This is Charlie Roumeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago. He was on with us yesterday talking about Henry Joakim Harju. Those two names together, that's really hard for me. You don't understand what kind of an accomplishment that was to get through that relatively safely and unscathed. Let's get you some headlines, and then we'll talk some football, and we'll see just how honest these boys are. Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, all advanced to the semifinals at Wimbledon. Hang on a second. I'm going to get to the change channels here. There we go. The women's semifinals are just about to get underway. Simona Halep is up here in moments, and Serena Williams will be competing at 10. The Vancouver Canucks have signed free agent winger Michael Furland, 4 years, $14 million. Eden's Alex Iafallo gets a new 2-year contract from the Kings, and Matt Cullen hangs up the skates after 21 years and 3 Stanley Cups. Kawhi Leonard has a 3-year contract with the Clippers, but the third year is a player option. The Major League Baseball season resumes tonight. There is one game on the schedule, Houston and Texas. The White Sox are the first team in Major League Baseball to install netting from foul pole all the way around to the other foul pole. And those are your headlines. Brought to you by Lenco. Are you in the know? Go Lenco. Lenco Lumber.
I was in one day, not with you, and had a really good discussion with Jeremy. It was a little while ago about the netting.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it.
Yeah, why not?
Look, I'm all for it.
It's funny. I thought it was like foul pole to foul pole. There's no question. You have it behind the plate. You extended it, I think, at least to the near side of the dugouts, or was it to the far side? I know everybody's it got it to a
certain point. It drops down, basically.
Yeah, it goes on an angle.
At an angle.
Yeah,
so
like
it goes to the end of the dugout at Coca-Cola, at Salins.
Salins, right.
At Salins. It goes to the end of the dugout, but it
slants down.
Slants down.
Yes.
It's higher in the first part,
close
to home plate.
Correct. And I went to a Mets-Dodgers game in May, and one of the games we went to, we had seats down the left field line, Sal. Not up all the way to the corner, but pretty close. Like, far enough that you really wouldn't worry about a line drive foul ball that far up the line. So I don't think it's as big a deal to have the netting all the way to the pole, but why not? Here's the question. Always go exercise caution here. Go ahead, put it on. It's not going to restrict my ability to watch the baseball game. I've been behind home plate looking through the netting. I've been behind the dugouts looking through the netting.
You go to Sabres games looking through the netting.
Look, there's just what happens at baseball games. Raise your hand if you watch every single pitch. No one's raising their hand. Everybody gets distracted. You're having a conversation with your buddy. You're checking your phone. You're texting. You're on Twitter. Nobody's watching every single pitch.
Right.
And if you hear the sound of a bat, the ball being hit, you look up and go, where is it? So don't even, let alone kids who are getting struck by foul balls and everything, just exercise caution. And if you have netting foul pole to foul pole like the White Sox are doing, great. Now you don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
The number one criticism with what you just said and argument against it, which I don't agree with, is people saying, well, that's the problem. You shouldn't be on your phone or on social media and you should be paying more. Stop it. Yeah. All right. First of all, even if that's the case, fine. Ban phones from ballparks if you want. Sometimes you might actually turn and talk to a food vendor or Conehead or whatever to get a beer. You're not always watching every single pitch all the time. And especially, what if you do have kids? Sometimes they're getting up. You're looking at them. Mm-hmm. You're telling them to sit down. You're giving them something. You just can't predict when it happens. I was at Salins on Star Wars night.
Yeah.
And we happened to walk to right field in the outfield area where a bunch of kids were because they were playing with the swords and stuff. And as I was literally walking there, there was a foul ball that was hit well down the first base line.
Yeah.
And it curved in. I saw it. It curved in. It was like it was a curving like a line drive.
Yeah.
And a woman got hit. And I saw it happen. And to me, she wasn't doing anything other than just sitting there, but I don't think she knew that ball was going to curve and hit.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody around them knew that.
Right.
You just don't know when it's going to happen. She's okay, by the way.
Good.
She did require medical attention though. Mm. But it happens at games everywhere all the time.
See, I think with the netting, that the question would be, okay, where does the safe point end, so to speak? Like I said, if you're really far down and you're up in near the corner towards the foul pole, you're probably not getting a line drive. If it's a foul ball, it's going to be more up in the air and come down there. But I think it's all. But you do have to have the netting beyond the far side of the dugout. You know, even beyond the far side of the dugout, you can still get a screaming line drive foul ball.
Of course, yes.
Now, further up the line, again, I think the percentages
decrease.
So I guess
still there.
Right. So what? Well, we're going to extend the netting to the back of the infield dirt. I mean, like, what's the cutoff point? So just take it to the foul pole.
And look, I think, admittedly, I had a different attitude before I had a son and took him to games.
Yeah.
I probably was a guy who said, oh, it's fine. I'm watching the game. I'll be fine. It's on me.
You
it's
and your
on me
will be okay.
to pay attention, right? I would say that. But now I have a 5-year-old son who loves going to games. And I think about it all the time because our seats that we sit in at Salins all the time are literally right above where that netting ends.
Yeah.
It's at the edge of the dugout, and it's only about 10 rows up. And I'm right there, and I think about it all the time, and I always make sure that I sit between him and home plate just because I hear all these stories. But I think about it, I see it, and I'm like, I would be totally for more netting here. People are walking around. You're talking. You say hello.
Sure.
You go. You stand up to get something. You know. You talk to. You're buying a beer or cotton candy for the kid or whatever.
I don't have a 5-year-old son at the game. And
not
I'm
a beer
to,
for the kid, by the way.
And I'm here to tell you. Not until he's 6 or 7, the beer.
Right.
I'm here to tell you. I look at my phone.
Yes.
Everybody does.
Of course, I do too.
You're looking at your phone. I mean, it happens. It's a 3-hour baseball game. You're not going to be keyed in on every single pitch.
Isn't part of the charm of a baseball game and one of the reasons you go is to do that, to relax, to kind of chill out, to kind of just like, this is a kind of an escape. It's not like a hockey game or a basketball game where the action
You're watching
is,
every shift.
That's right. That is part of the allure of baseball.
Right.
Summertime, relaxation, get out there, sit down, kind of, you can kind of let your mind get away just for here and there, I guess.
I've been at games, not just Bison's games, but other games where I've been behind the net. I don't think about it. I will tell you, the only time I think about there's a net in front of me is if you take a picture. You take your phone out, you want to take a picture of your favorite player who's in the on-deck circle, or the guys at home plate and you want to get a picture of him, you think, oh yeah, there's a net up there. I'm shooting the picture through the... I just don't think about it. When the NHL first did the netting, I remember thinking, wow, this is going to be hard to watch. That's going to be weird sitting in the end zone seat, so to speak, in the lower bowl at a hockey game, and now you got the net in front of you. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. There are people who will tell you, we don't need the net because it's not as much fun watching the baseball game through the net. Again, exercise caution here. Mm-hmm. Error on the side of being safe because no one is glued into every pitch. And look, if you're worried about the net, okay, sit higher up. You know, get seats in, the 200 level, the mezzanine, whatever they call it, that are above the net. I know Rob Manfred has talked about how it isn't just a black and white thing. It's not as easy as saying there are technical issues in different stadiums and different parks that have to be taken into consideration. But honestly, in this day and age, I would think there's got to be a way to make it work in every stadium.
By the way, I would also, I think what really they could do and should do is, and I know some stadiums would be tougher and you have to work around it and figure it out eventually. You know how you bring up the netting before a field goal in football?
Yeah.
Well, keep the netting down before the game starts so people can still interact with the players as they come up. Maybe they can throw a ball with a kid or whatever.
If you could do that,
If you had the ability, not all stadiums. And then once the game starts, put the net up.
Honestly, I'm okay with the net being up.
Yeah, but I mean,
It's still, you can still enjoy watching the game. And at some point as a fan, you just forget the net's there
in
terms of watching.
I've heard people say, well, before the game, I like to get down there, get some autographs.
Some pictures,
and I'm saying that if that's the case, maybe they can have a way to do that before the game.
Right. The guy's, you're passing an autograph, a picture to get it signed, or the guy's
something like that.
Baseball,
and then when the game starts, you just raise it up.
You can't get a baseball through the netting, probably. If you're having you bring a ball, could you squeeze it through the net, I guess?
You might be able to. Some of the netting.
The guy signed it, they squeeze it back through. Yeah, I don't know. So I wanted to ask you, how honest are you?
I think I'm pretty honest.
Is Max listening, by the way, at this point?
No, he's not.
Okay, so you can actually give me your honest answer because you don't have to worry about your son listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, this has nothing to do with sports, so give me a second. The other day in suburban Atlanta, an armored vehicle, the door of the armored truck swung open on Interstate 285. Cash came flying out of the vehicle. Police estimated about $175,000 in cash went flying out onto the road. There is video of dozens of drivers pulling over to the side of the road to grab money. Now, the question is, I think there are multiple questions here, Sal. Would you have pulled over to grab the cash? If you did, would you return said cash?
Okay, I have a couple questions. You have to answer yes or no to this.
Go ahead. Ready?
Do I see it come out of the armored car?
Yes.
Oh, then this stops there. I absolutely return it. If I see it fly out of the armored car, it's not my money. That's
what would you be thinking? Even if you didn't see it come out of the armored car, you think there's a cash giveaway on the interstate that day?
No. Hold on. Then if you say
hey,
I did not see
cash.
It. Wait, then if you say I did not see
you
it.
You didn't see it. You drive up, all of a sudden you see all these cars that are stopped. You don't notice an armored truck, but you notice slow down, stop car, side of the road. People are on their knees picking up cash.
Okay, now my next question is, I have no idea. So my next question is, do I eventually know or learn where it came from?
Well, you would eventually learn, unless you don't watch the news. I mean, you would probably learn.
I know. I'm sort of having fun with you. I would absolutely return the cash and give it back. However,
it's free cash.
I mean, if you're just there and you're like picking it up, like, hey, where does this go? I'm kind of thinking in the back of my head, maybe like we never find out where this came from. And then I just kind of keep it for a little while and then see what happens. But once I know where it came from, I got to give it back.
I love your question about where did it come from? As if, like I said, there's a new promotion they're trying in Atlanta called Free Cash Tuesdays. We won't tell you which interstate. We're going to
maybe, I don't know.
Today it's I-75 North by exit 21. And they just drop money into certain places along the roads once a week.
I've thought about this since it happened. I read the story. And I actually think this may sound weird to some people. I might not stop. Because I'd be afraid of where the cash came from and what would happen.
What do you think? It's like mob money?
No.
They'll track you down?
Maybe that or just like I don't want to be in a position where you took some of that money and you weren't supposed to. Like I might just drive through it and go, okay, like I know that's not a good thing to do. Right, so I'm just going to go and not put myself in that position.
I will tell you, my answer would have been I would probably drive. I doubt I would stop. I would probably drive through it.
I think I might just drive through
because
it.
Because I would think.
I thought I'd be weird by saying that.
No. I would probably drive through it. I really do think I would not stop.
Right.
Because, again, like you said, even if you don't see the truck, the cash came from somewhere and it's not free.
Yeah.
So you're taking somebody's cash all of a sudden. And I don't think I would stop. I would just, you know, I'd look, there'd be rubbernecking, and you would keep driving.
I don't know. You ever hear this? Did you read this story recently about this guy who buried some treasure in the mountains and people have gone looking for it and like several have died because he even said like this is a treacherous thing to do.
Really?
It's a buried treasure and he left clues. It's a weird thing, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe is there a rich person in a helicopter dropping some cash and saying, hey, have at it? I don't know. People are paying for other people's college education these days.
Oh yeah, right. What was it? Was it Emory University? I forget. Moorhead?
Moorhead.
It was Moorhead, where the guy stood up and said, hey, congratulations, senior class. I got your college tab.
I don't know if I would stop. I might just drive through. I don't think I would stop
because I know
I would give the money back.
I would guess someone's going to want that money back. Here's the thing. Now, honestly, here's the first question I really thought of. Is there video? Is there a way?
There's somebody with cell phone video.
Is there a way
video.
For them to see
me
picking it up? Can they track it somehow? Now, according to the story, now, I don't know if this is true or not.
I saw a cell phone video of it on Twitter.
According to the story, police are telling everybody that they have video and they have tag numbers and they have footage of people on the interstate. So if you don't return the money, and some people have, by the way, if you don't return the money, they will track you down and you will probably be charged. Now, could be they're just saying that to scare people into giving the money back.
They could be, but I mean, they do have a way
there
to.
Could be, if it's on the interstate, there could be traffic cameras, I guess, in theory, that could be captured.
I mean, they do know the serial numbers and all that. All that stuff has to be accounted for, right?
Sure.
So, I mean, in some way they would. The other thing I thought of, if I saw it happen, I would immediately say, I got to help this person get the money back. I got to help the armored. I would do that.
Sure. Wink, wink.
Right. Help them. I would.
What are you doing? You're collecting
money.
Then
I would stop.
Oh, I'm just getting it to give it back.
Right. Then I would actually stop and be like, hey, I'll help you try and get all this back. If I didn't see it happen and I did stop, I would give it back. But I don't think I'd stop.
Yeah,
I would just go.
I don't think I would either. But
I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to be one of these people they're calling and saying, did you take some of that money?
Thing. See, that's the funny thing, which doesn't make me necessarily the most honest guy in the world. I wouldn't stop, but if I did, my first thought was, can they catch me?
I think we all would think that a little bit, right?
Thinking, is there video? Like, if there,
we'd all think that a little bit in our head, but we know the right thing to do. That's the bottom line.
And that's why I wouldn't want to stop. I don't want to be tempted.
Yes.
Because quite honestly, if I stop, I'm going to be looking around going, as long as there's no video, I am taking this stuff. I am out of here. You know?
Yeah.
I got bills to pay. I got a mortgage. I got debt. You know?
No, like, I will say, I'm not. I teach my son even, like, you know.
If you find $10 on the street, track down the owner?
No, no. And, like, mistakes are made.
Yeah.
And, you know, people can pay for those mistakes, even though you think that, you know, that it's a good thing for you. For example, you go to a store, you give $10 and...
Mm-hmm. Change is wrong.
The change is wrong.
Yeah,
they give you $10 back instead of $5.
We've all done that. We've all said, hey, you gave me too much.
Right. You know, it's not yours to keep because, you know, that person could lose their job if that happens.
I think that's probably happened to a lot of people.
Yeah,
here's your $5
back. Yeah, so I mean, like, I think we all, in our head, I think, would think, ooh, can I keep this money? What could I do with it? But at the end of the day, I would hope most people listening and all of us would say, we know it's not ours and we got to give it back.
We're good people.
I hope so.
Considering we're in radio for a living. All right, 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. Hey, if you're just joining us, good morning. We were talking the first half of the show about replay. I was talking about replay challenges, reviews, where you're at with that, only because the NBA this week instituted a new coaches challenge. We know what the NFL's doing with pass interference. NHL is expanding replay after what happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So when it comes to replay reviews and technology, you're good with it. You want more of it. Get the calls right. You're completely frustrated and annoyed with it. Let's scale it back. You can share your thoughts on that at 803-0550. Let me get started on this, Al. We won't be able to get through all of it. And if I don't get to it, all of it today, we'll kick it into tomorrow's show since you're going to be back. But 2 weeks from today, it's practice number one. Bills training camp, St. John Fisher. Sal will be out there, sunscreen in hand, ready to cover everything for us. We're looking forward to it. We'll be out there when the Bills are practicing in the morning. Jeremy and I will be out there bringing you the show live from St. John Fisher. So what I wanted to do with you, Mr. Capaccio, is go position by position. I've got a depth chart in front of me and maybe just, you know, skim through each position and talk about where are the questions, where are the battles. What kind of a handle do you have on who's making the roster at each position? Quarterback is first up, but, I mean, when it comes to quarterback, there aren't a lot of questions. There's no competition. Josh Allen is getting the reps. Matt Barkley is number two. I would guess the only question to quarterback is what? Tyree Jackson? Does he make the team? There really is not much going on.
Right.
This guy's with the ones, that guy's with the twos, and then it's a question of whether they carry three quarterbacks or not, is it, right?
Yes, and my prediction is no.
Okay.
I think my prediction as I sit here is Tyree Jackson is on the practice squad. They would release him, sign on the practice squad. He'll come every day, and there's two benefits of this. You know, Matt Barkley's on a 2-year deal. If Tyree Jackson really develops well, you can have him challenge Matt Barkley for the second string next year at camp. Why, you know, have him in there? There's three benefits, really. The second benefit is, you have another guy at practice. If something does happen, you can kind of slide him in to take some reps and, you know, to take a little pressure off the other guy having to take all the reps.
Yep.
But the other thing is, Tyree Jackson has a unique skill set. You can use him as a scout team quarterback in a lot of different types of scenarios, which is, we got an athletic guy, he can run. We got a guy who's got a big arm. Like, Tyree's got a unique skill set. He can act as your scout team quarterback versus mimicking a lot of different types of players you're going to face. And I think that would be a really nice situation.
Let me insert.
He's not going to cause any problems. He's going to show up every day at work.
Right.
I mean, like, some of these guys, I think I should be on the active roster. Tyree doesn't strike me like that at all.
You don't think he's going to walk around going, you know, I'm better than Barkley.
That's exactly right. I don't think so. I think he'd be appreciative of having a job in the NFL every day.
Sure. Let me insert a non-player question because Sal Majorana brought it up when he was on with us at 7:30 this morning. Ken Dorsey's addition as quarterback coach, what impact do you think that can have? And how much, like, when you think about developing a quarterback, I don't know how many people think about the actual quarterback coach. We tend to talk a lot about the offensive coordinator, his relationship with the quarterback, the play calling, the design of the offense. What about Ken Dorsey's addition? How much of an impact do you think that could be? Does he kind of take Derek Anderson's place in some way, shape, or
form? I think he does. I think that's a bit of a part of this, which is, you know, Matt Barkley, I think, is also very valuable to Josh Allen. You know, whenever we talk about what Derek Anderson did, Matt Barkley was a part of that as well. Barkley came in and did a really nice job of being a good example for, whereas maybe Anderson was more of the, I'm the mentor guy and follow me around and watch what I do.
Yeah, because he'd been around longer and he'd seen so much,
right? I think Barkley was more of the, he showed up every day, did what he's supposed to do, they had a good relationship, but he's leading by example, right? And showing what it takes to be a pro and to survive in this league and to get things done on a weekly basis. And look no further than he got there in an a week, he started and won a big game in a blowout, right? I mean, he was able to dig into the playbook, do everything he was supposed to do to get ready for that game. And I think that really helped Josh see what that was all about and that professionalism. And then when you know especially you're not going to have Anderson, I think Dorsey becomes more important because he's younger. He just did play in the league not too long ago, right? I mean, look, I'll say this. I think David Culley did a good job. And even though he's not here, people may look and go, ah, this guy, he came from being a wide receivers coach to a quarterback's coach, or they might find ways that maybe Josh wasn't as good with David Culley. I think Josh grew under David Culley. I think David Culley did a nice job.
In what ways do you think Josh grew under him?
Look at the season he had from when he first came in to at the end of the year where
sure.
he was,
there
right?
I mean,
and even Josh admitted, like, coming into his first game when he did that thing with Chris Sims, he said, they were lining Derwin James up. I had no idea what was going on. Like, I was calling things that weren't even really things I should call, right? Mm-hmm. And I think David Culley did a nice job of working with Josh and having him grow. And, of course, obviously, Brian Daboll. But David Culley moved on for whatever reason. He's in Baltimore. He wasn't fired, but it was kind of a mutual, hey, he's going to Baltimore, right? He wasn't let go with Juan Castillo and
receivers, Robiski?
Robiski. And then Robiski. Who's the special teams?
And the line coach.
Well, it was Castillo was the line coach.
Yeah.
Now I can't do this. Special teams coach. Off the top of my head.
This
see?
Is bad.
I know,
survived
right?
like three
I know,
coaches.
I know.
Too,
and
right?
now he's in Miami, by the way. Now he's in Miami.
I'll look it up.
Anyway, the point is they made this change.
Danny Crossman.
Thank you, Danny Crossman. Thank you. I know we're going to get tens of millions of tweets. You're the Bills reporter? How do you not know that? I get it all the time. It's
brain
crazy.
Freeze.
I know. We can never just forget something, make a mistake in a moment's notice. I think David Culley did a good job, but.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said for having a guy that's a little more relatable, too, right? I mean, this coaching staff got younger through all the changes, a lot younger through the changes.
Well, I know you've
and
made,
that's, one of the, that's one of the positions.
I think you've made a good point how McDermott has changed over
yes.
the staff because he's now in year three more comfortable as a head
Correct.
Coach and maybe a little knows now I can kind of go at some maybe some less older veteran assistant coaches and maybe kind of tweak things up a little bit.
Yeah, and I asked him about that at the owners' meetings. He even said, yeah, I mean, you know, there was definitely a calculation on bringing those kinds of guys in
well,
when he got
special
hired.
Special teams coach.
You know,
that's
right.
Here now.
I mean, he's not even 40 years old yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's here. And
receivers coach, right? Was
yeah.
it Chad
his,
Hall?
His first, it's his first real, you know, yeah. position coach job. You know,
yeah.
he's been an assistant.
And Dorsey. Yeah.
And now you have Dorsey. So do I think he can help? Yes. But I don't know if it's more for the technical aspect and things he's seen or just the relatability maybe.
Right.
You know, that might be it. Just the relatability and kind of like you said, taking over for kind of who Derek Anderson was.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have worked with Dorsey, we get a lot of, how many times have you heard, oh, there we go, Carolina Panthers connection again. Look, I mean, it works in any business. You want to work with people you trust and
yeah.
that you know what you want, right?
Have,
I mean, that's
and
what happens.
Maybe have a prior working relationship with because you know what their work ethic is. You know
of
how
course.
Reliable they are.
Yeah, I mean, like if either Brayton or Jeremy left the morning show today, sure, they could put anybody they want here, but you're going to feel more comfortable with somebody you know and can trust and is going to keep the show going on the right track. You know that it needs to go on to be successful. I mean, that's just what we do in life, and I think how we gravitate. It doesn't mean it has to be someone like that. You can always bring people in from the outside.
You know that if I ever bought a radio station, I would hire you.
To
do overnights.
What?
Overnights. But I would definitely hire you.
Yes.
I trust you, but you would
I'd
be
have my
so,
days free.
You'd be so like midnight to six.
I'd have my
you'd,
days
you'd
free.
Be overnights with Sal Capaccio.
The Quiet Storm. Remember that one, Saturday Night Live? The Quiet Storm.
Getting you through the
yes.
night with Sal Capaccio.
So you're thinking about you're thinking of a music station.
Of course
now.
You would yes, and you would change Capaccio.
Oh
we
yeah.
have a different last name to go.
I
with
did have
the
a different
format.
Last name my first year in radio in college. I did. I don't even want to say it because then people are going to start calling me that or something.
Oh.
I took my middle name.
Yeah.
Antonino is my middle name.
Yeah.
And I shortened it to Anthony.
Sal Anthony?
I was Sal Anthony like the first like freshman year, first year on the radio. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I should be proud of my name. Like, why am I doing that? I just thought it was cool to have like a radio name.
Is it bad that I hear Sal Anthony? I thought that's that's a porno name. Is that a bad thing to say on the air? I probably shouldn't have said that. I should have filtered that out, right? Like, I feel like you would have been on Cinemax on a Friday night movie.
Could have been some of that going on at Syracuse, too, for all you know. I'm not going to say anything.
Late night radio guy starring Sal Anthony. And like it's
getting a little touchy here. It is morning radio.
Let's not go down that road. Okay. 803-0550. We'll continue our position-by-position breakdown as we get you ready for, 2 weeks away from Bills training camp. You can always join in the discussion. 803-0550. Richard was very happy with our segment on the cash on the highway in Atlanta. Life lessons on WGR with a little conscience training. Hey, man, we're here for everything. You can grab a line, join us here, WGR.
They have some overlapping or redundancy here now. McCoy's a good receiving back, so is P.J. Yeldon. Maybe Yeldon can mix it up downhill the way that Chris Ivory could last year along with Gore. And then Singletary gives them tackle-breaking ability, the contact balance and ability to create a lot of the Sean McCoy. So I think some of this also is just injury rate at the position. And the Patriots taking Damian Harris. We just see that teams want to have a solid player that they, not just in an emergency, but a player that can contribute on game day, too.
That is Sigmund Bloom from the Football Guys talking about the Bills. We're going to get to running backs in a second, doing a nice position-by-position breakdown with Sal Capaccio, who is joining us in studio. And by the way, I should have mentioned this earlier. I'm just terrible. Sal, brought to us by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Headlines. Women's semifinals are underway. Simone Halep is leading 2-1 in the first set of the first women's semifinals. Serena Williams will be on center court around 10 o'clock this morning. Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, and Roger Federer all moved on to the men's semifinals. Nadal and Federer will go head-to-head, by the way. The Vancouver Canucks have added Michael Ferland through free agency. He gets a 4-year, $14 million deal. Alex Iafallo from Eden, sticking around in Los Angeles, gets a new 2-year contract from the Kings. And Matt Cullen announced his retirement, 21 years in the NHL, 3-time Stanley Cup winner. Kawhi Leonard, his deal with the Clippers is essentially a 2-year deal. It's 3 years, $101 million, but the third year is a player option. Major League Baseball schedule gets going again tonight. One game on tap, Houston and Texas. And the White Sox are the first team to go foul pole to foul pole with protective netting. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Talk a little more position stuff here with Sal. Quick note, don't forget, Taste of Buffalo is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Beautiful weather to go downtown and sample all the delicious food and all the goodies down there. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that coming up around 8:50 this morning. We will be joined in studio by Raul Parker. Hang on a second. Dirty Bird Chicken and Waffles food truck. And he brought some samples in. They are delicious. I just had a wing in the break, but again, strictly for show purposes. I didn't do it because it's free food and I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
I was doing it so I can...
Where do I get this wing? I had no idea. I went the other way out the
control
door.
Room right next to Brayton. There's wings. There's blue cheese.
My gosh.
They're delicious. Again, I did it for show reasons.
What's the rule on time of day you're allowed to start eating wings normally?
There's no rule.
I didn't think so.
When people bring in food to us, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Nope.
Especially when you get up. You get up at like 3, so.
No. We've had wings. It's funny. People will, why do you get me off on tangents, Capaccio? Do you understand?
Yes.
I do not have ADHD, but I can quickly change tracks.
Yes.
It's funny because time to time we will get people that talk to us about, you could bring in anything. We've had wings. We've had ribs. We've had pizza. We've had steak. You bring us food. Doesn't matter what time it is. We'll eat it. And people will actually say, whoa, how could you have barbecued ribs at 8 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know. I get up at 4:30. I'm just feeling lunch mode by the time we get here.
So anyway, help yourself. Well, not right now because you have to actually stick around for the second.
Okay.
Go eat them in the break.
I'm going to shut up and let you do your job.
Running backs. It's not a good idea. Running backs is where we should go. But quickly, there is a fullback on the roster. Patrick DeMarco. Just a real quick question. Is there still a fullback in the offense? I assume he's here at the very least because this is one of your core special teams guys too, right? Are they still using a fullback?
I think they still plan on using a fullback.
Okay.
I think the question for me is, would it be DeMarco as a traditional fullback or a guy like a tight end, like a Tommy Sweeney, who can play an H-back and fill multiple roles? Because and DeMarco's a good athlete. DeMarco can actually, he has gone out for passes, and he can do that. But that's the only thing I question. I don't question like the actual the alignment of the offense. Will the alignment just eliminate a fullback? I don't think so. Okay. I think they will have someone that fills that role. The question for me is Patrick DeMarco, although he's the only true fullback on the roster, is he safe or is he actually competing with one of the tight ends who could be an H-back and fill multiple roles?
Okay. Running back. Lots of questions at running back. So many different questions.
I think this is easier than everybody wants to make
really?
It out to
be. Really? Okay,
because I think it is. I think it is a lot easier than everybody seems to want to make it out to be. And the reason is because so many are still stuck with this thought that was never the case
that
they were moving on from LeSean McCoy.
That I think that's one of the questions. Does he make the team? And then if he does, how do they distribute the touches? Is Singletary, how many backs do they keep? Is Singletary on the active roster?
Well, here's the touches, I don't know. I think that's way too far to, I mean, things happen throughout the season. Your record dictates that. Injuries dictate that. Game plan. But let's just focus on going to training camp and what happens in the 2 weeks of training camp, okay? As you know, all right? I'm going to reach around and do this for a second. As you know.
I've been telling
you and everybody since last trade deadline.
Right.
He's not going anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
He's going to be articles everywhere. I'm going to trade him. I'm going to do this. Look, I could be wrong. You have 14 days here for me to be wrong, okay? But everybody I talked to, everything that I knew pointed to they're not moving on. They have no financial reason to do that. And in fact, he's still their number one guy, and they're going to fix the offensive line, and they're hoping for him to have some sort of resurgence going into his 31-year-old year and his last year of his contract.
Right.
Okay. That's where we still are. However, I've never dismissed the possibility that once you get to training camp, anything can happen. They could realize he has lost a step.
Correct. There's a difference between he's not getting traded and does he make the opening day roster?
Now, I do think that could change. However, my money would still be right now on yes, and he's the number one guy.
Yeah.
I do think he will be, as I sit here, the number one guy. But I do not dismiss the possibility of anything happening at training camp, including, by the way, Devin Singletary showing, look, you need to play me now. Like, you can't, like, we can't sit around and wait. Why not at least move on now, give LeSean an opportunity to go somewhere else, save the money, even though you don't have to save it, but you can save it in the cash and whatever,
right?
I don't think that's going to happen. I wouldn't completely dismiss it. It's not out of the question. So, I would predict right now LeSean McCoy is the number one running back on opening day. That's what I would predict right now. I wouldn't be shocked if it was another way. I predict Frank Gore makes this team and is a part of what they want to do because he was brought in here for a specific reason for what he brings on the field and off the field. And Brandon Bean has been a fan of his for a long time. And he had a good year last year at the age of 35. And he's still playing. And I think they plan on him being their backup running back, so to speak, that fill the Chris Ivory role. I also believe Devin Singletary is going to be here. They drafted him in the third round. He's not going to go on the practice squad. You'd have to cut him for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And he would get picked up. He'd get claimed by somebody.
Yeah.
So he's going to be on the roster.
Yeah, and the GM was so excited about drafting this kid. You'd think, sure, there's a role for him. What about Yeldon?
And I think T.J. Yeldon makes the team. Okay. Now, I don't know. This is
contract,
probably about, to me, I'd say 55-60% type of situation for me. And the reason is, of all the guys we just talked about, he is your third down pass-catching running back, or even just pass-catching running back. The guy is a monster catching balls out of the backfield. He had over 50. He had 55 catches last year. He has over 170 catches in 4 years in the NFL. This is why you signed him, so you don't have to use LeSean or Frank or Devin Singletary to go out of the backfield on those passing situations. You have a guy who can threaten the defense and create mismatches, maybe on linebackers, that you can use in that role. So that's four running backs, okay?
Yeah.
The rest are probably gone. Sonoris Perry. Now,
he doesn't make it for special
you
teams.
You might have a spot for a guy in special teams. I'm not counting him, though,
yeah,
because that can come from anywhere. And he's just a special teams guy.
Right.
So I don't want to get caught up in the numbers of running backs when I talk about special teams because, I don't know, do you keep Sonoris Perry over a corner? Does it matter?
Right. Well, this is the Taiwan Jones.
You're
just keeping a back for special
teams. Does it really matter? Right. It doesn't matter to me. So people, I think, make make this way too complicated. To me, there are four running backs who wind up making this roster short of something that happens at training camp, like an injury, maybe another team has an injury, they call and they offer something good for LeSean McCoy, whatever it is. And that is McCoy, Gore, Singletary, and Yeldon. I did go back last year, Howard, and I looked, and I said, what did they do last year on game day? How many running backs did they have? How many were active?
Yeah.
And last year, pretty much for the whole year, there were a few weeks here or there this was different. They had four running backs on the active roster, and three were active on game day. So one just doesn't play. And if that's Devin Singletary,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. If that's TJ Yeldon,
right,
I wouldn't be surprised. If it's Frank Gore, I wouldn't be completely surprised. I don't think it's LeSean McCoy. He's probably on the roster and active every single week unless something happens with an injury.
803-0550, we're doing a position-by-position breakdown with Sal when we get back. Pick of the week, and we'll preview the Taste of Buffalo coming up in a moment on WGR.
Time for the Pick of the Week, brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. This week's Pick of the Week is a Lexus RX 350 from our friends at Riverfront Auto Sales. This luxury SUV is white in color, outstanding in all weather conditions, all-wheel drive, plenty of space inside with all the amenities that come with a Lexus SUV. Only two owners with a clean Carfax. All of this in a Lexus SUV for only $15,750. Again, for only $15,000 and change, you can own this luxury SUV by calling Riverfront Auto Sales right now, because it will not last. Call 886-1626 today. This weekend's kind of a light weekend in sports. Nothing really much going on, but I'll go with the Wimbledon men and women's final. The women's final comes Saturday, and then the men's final comes Sunday, even though Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal are going to be playing tomorrow in the semifinal. I'll go with the final at Wimbledon.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just finishing a tweet. Really sorry, but there you go. I had to tweet a picture of the food. It's one of the perks of the job. This is really one of, when they ask, why do you guys do this for a living? It's certainly not because the teams win. So this is one of the perks of the job. You get free food from time to time. Taste of Buffalo. Bonus pick of the week. Taste of Buffalo is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, downtown. It's always a lot of fun. We are joined here by Raul Parker, and he has a food truck. It's Dirty Bird Chicken and Waffles. They're going to be at the Taste of Buffalo. Now, he's got wings here with us today to sample, and the chicken and waffles. I already had the wings. Going to have the chicken and waffles. Food is outstanding. I am not just saying that because he's a member of law enforcement with a weapon with us right now in studio. Welcome to the show, Raul. Nice to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Taste of Buffalo this weekend. This is, what, year number two for you at Taste of Buffalo, right?
This is year number two.
What was year number one like for you?
It was my, we got killed.
Yeah.
Killed.
So you, but you, I'm sure you expect a certain level. Did it still surpass anything you thought it was going to be?
Oh, it did. It did by far. You know, it was very surprising, you know, but we loved every minute of it. You know, we got our butts kicked, but it was all worth it in the end.
Do you have to restock? Did you underestimate how much food you were going to go through?
It's kind of like a hit or miss. You never know how much, you know, it's your first year. You never know how much you're going to go through.
Yeah.
So I had to get restocked, by my distributor.
Yeah.
On Sunday morning.
You're not the first person over the years who said that to us. That's why I thought, I think you can only, I'm sure the organizers might tell each food truck, whatever restaurant, hey, prepare for this. And like you said, you have no idea what's going on. And if you get flooded, you're on the phone talking, bring more food.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we made it through both days without running out. I had a little fryer mishap at the end, where the fryers took a beating, so it's not worth it to push any more chicken out and, tarnish the quality.
I guess we should first off talk about the food truck. What do you have that you're going to be offering at the Taste of Buffalo on Saturday and Sunday?
We will have our original Dirty Bird Chicken and Waffle Sandwich, which is the deep fried chicken, and it's hand breaded, battered, everything right on the truck, and it's topped with our maple bourbon butter syrup.
Oh my!
And placed in between the waffle. Then we'll have the BBW Chicken and Waffle Sandwich, which is bacon, cheese, and ranch dressing, and that's in between the waffle. We will also have our Dirty Bird Signature Wings, which is like a sweet and spicy sauce on the wings, and we'll have our Skinny Bird Chicken Wrap.
I had the wings. Delicious. It's funny. I brought this up on the show a few weeks ago. I had never had chicken and waffles. In fact, I would always look at it and go, who puts chicken with waffles? It's a dinner food with a breakfast food. Why would you do that? I was out in L.A. at the end of May. We went out to a restaurant. They had chicken and waffles. I had it for the first time. It was outstanding. And you mentioned, so you brought in the original and the bacon with the cheese.
Yeah.
You started describing the second chicken and waffle, and I thought, story over. I'm grabbing this one. I can't wait to try this. It looks absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
What made you want to get into the food truck business?
You know what? I wanted something that could was mine, that I wouldn't have to, you know, I wanted to be my own boss.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty good so far.
How'd you settle on chicken and waffles?
I've always loved chicken and waffles. You know, as a kid traveling down south, you know, back and forth to Florida, Georgia, and, you know, it always stuck with me, and I wanted to have something that was different than, you know, the trucks that were out here in Western New York, and surprisingly, it's caught on. We're moving.
How many trucks do you have, first of all?
Two.
And how where are you at, and how do you determine where your truck is going to be and when and how often and all those things?
I usually do all my bookings with corporate offices like Citi, Key Bank Arena,
yep,
Geico. We're at a ton of different corporate places. We do private events, catering events such as weddings, birthday parties, graduation parties. We were just in Detroit 2 weeks ago for the world's largest food truck rally.
Wow.
So we're starting to branch out a little bit, but we're everywhere.
You take the show on the road, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
How competitive? Like, if you go downtown, I know we were in D.C. last year, and you walk around at lunchtime in D.C., and I mean, it is just, there are miles of food trucks, it seems like. How competitive is the food truck business?
It is. It's not as competitive as you think. You know, we're all pretty good, tight with each other, you know, in the Buffalo food truck community.
Yeah.
But at events, it's may the best man win. You know, we show up and show out. That's the motto. We got to do it.
By the way, you're an Atlanta Falcons fan. Is there a Dirty Bird connection to the old? No, probably not.
That's where I got the name from. I used to be an Atlanta Falcons fan.
Okay.
I
thought
Jamal
about the
Anderson.
Dirty Bird. Yeah, the dance.
It.
Yeah,
Jamal
right.
Jamal Anderson started it all.
Okay, you know? That's cool. Are you from the South originally?
No. Born and raised in Niagara Falls.
Okay. You mentioned catering, so get the word out. How do folks get a hold of you if they want to use the Dirty Bird catering service?
They could either contact through the Facebook page, which is Dirty Bird Chicken and Waffles LLC, through Twitter, which is at Dirty Bird Buff, or by direct phone call. It's 716-628-9938 or 716-564-7161.
I'll be judging at the Taste of Buffalo Saturday. I think I'm going to start my judging right here today now in this studio. This is going to count. I'm going to have to give a ticket away for this. I'll be like, ooh, is it like a certain amount of tickets I can use to
food
and then judge?
No influence here, Raul. That's on the
No, it's all good.
You
it's
are
all
a
good.
Member of law enforcement. I'll
get the judging going early here. This is like the pregame warm-up.
On the other hand, Sal, do remember he is in law enforcement?
Yes, I do remember that. Yes, I'll have that in the back of my head.
Make your life miserable.
It looks awesome.
No, huh? Where are you going to be at? Well, look, for the folks who are going down to Taste of Buffalo, where can they find you?
We'll be right in a circle, right out in front of City Hall.
Okay. Good spot.
It is.
Well, this is awesome. The food is delicious. Thank you for coming in, first of all.
Thank you for having me.
And have a great time this weekend. Good luck with the food truck and everything.
We're going to try.
Appreciate it. Raul Parker joining us. Oh, I almost forgot. You won an award last year, too. So that's another reason to check out your food truck. What did you get for last year?
We won the Sardinia Award for Best Comfort Food.
There you go. Yeah, well, this is comforting me, so it's outstanding. Thank you very much. Taste of Buffalo, Saturday, Sunday, fantastic weather. Make sure you head down there. It is 11 to 9 Saturday, 11 to 7 on Sunday, and I think that sounds like they've changed the tickets a little bit. You know, it used to be 3 tickets for this, 6 tickets for that. Each ticket is priced at $1, and they're going to be sold in $5 sheets, so keep that in mind if you're going down there this weekend. Back with more football. We'll continue our position breakdown of the Bills coming up, WGR.